Welcome back, Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor. I'm really pleased to have Dr. Quentin Henning with me once again. Today he's with me to talk about Lion One and that company's evolving world-class high-grade alkaline gold deposit in Fiji, known as the Tuvatu Gold Project. And Quentin is a technical advisor to Lion One Metals, which is a sponsor to this show. Lion One trades in Canada, LIO. You can buy it down in the States, as I have, under the symbol LOMLF. 156.4 million shares, trading recently at 85 cents in U.S. money, giving it a market cap of around U.S. $133 million. Welcome, Quentin, and thanks for joining me again.
Thank you, Jay. Pleasure to be here.
Really good to have you with me. You know, some very exciting developments going on. Just for people that might not be familiar with an alkaline deposit, can you talk about them just briefly? Tell us why it should be something that investors pay attention to and why it's potentially very exciting.
Yeah, look, these deposits are some of the choicest gold deposits in the mining industry. You know, if you look at history, some of the most profitable and biggest gold deposits are alkaline gold systems. Examples would be Cripple Creek, which is here in Colorado, the Porgera mine, which is in New Guinea, Lihir, which is also part of New Guinea. It's a small island off the coast of New Guinea. And Vatukoula, which is a mine not too far from Tuvatu, which has produced many millions of ounces of gold over its lifetime. These are tend to be high grade. They can be very prolific in terms of the ounces that they generate. Examples: Cripple Creek's probably at 29 million ounces mine plus reserves, and Porgera is probably even more than that. I would say probably 30 plus million ounces mined in reserves at this point. Lihir is probably 45 million ounces mined in reserve. And then, you know, Vatukoula, their nearest neighbor there, Tuvatu, is about 11 million ounces mined reserves and resources. So, you know, these are big systems. And they tend to make a lot of money, so the major miners covet them. They're funny deposits in the way that they form. They form from these melts, these magmas that come up that have a lot of alkaline metals in them. And, you know, as they crystallize and so forth in the crust, the fluids that come off those melts kind of concentrate in the residual material. And just at the last moment, you know, like at the very, very last stage of this whole process of magmatism, these things just literally just burp out very high-grade gold into all the cracks and fissures and whatnot in the rock above them. So, you know, we can end up with extremely high grades. This is a classic example of one of these systems. I've used the analogy several times that these are like trees from the, you know, the top down. You basically are dealing with near surface at the smaller branches, and these coalesce into bigger and bigger branches as you go down, you know, and ultimately you find the trunk or the, you know, the big branches and the trunk at depth, and, you know, you can be into some absolutely killer grades, widths, and so forth. That's what we're starting to see at Tuvatu.
Well, I would think so. On August 15th, there was a press release that put out 75.9 meters grading 20.86 grams per ton. I think that was from the deeper section, some 500 plus meters down, if I'm right about that. And that would seem to be that tree trunk that you're talking about, potentially starting to hit into that tree trunk.
I think it's one of the bigger branches. I don't think, you know, necessarily we're right in the trunk yet, but it's one of the bigger branches. And it appears to be the one that fed most of the UR and UR, you know, URW loads and stuff that sit at surface right above. Okay, so there's a whole bunch of loads that comprise an existing resource, and those are the ones that kind of coalesce to form this bigger branch. And, you know, it's just a delight to find the darn thing after, you know, poking at this thing, you know, many, many holes over the past, what, 15, 20 years it's been drilled. And then to find the feeder structure is, you know,
really exciting.
Yeah, very.
Well, you've suggested in the past there could be more than one of these deposits. I think probably part of the same system over a 7-kilometer strike length based on surface geology that's been carried out so far. And on August 29th, there was an announcement the company put out that approximately 2 kilometers to the northeast of this initial discovery of what, you know, the main deposit that the company's been expanding and drilling on now, they found a channel sample graded 13.27 grams over 4 meters, That was at surface, and another 1 meter within that larger section, graded 36 grams per ton, or over an ounce per ton. And then there's another one that graded 17, almost 18 grams per ton over almost a meter. Might this be, in your view, part of the same system, the same alkaline system? Do we know enough about it yet to know if that's the case?
The mineralization that they found in all respects is identical to the mineralization seen at Tuvatu to the southwest. Mm-hmm. Now, I will say that it's absolutely part of the same system, but it's its own tree, if you will. Makes sense. Okay, so think of this like, let me set the picture a little bit better. Okay, so we have the Nava Lava Caldera, which is basically an extinct volcano. Think of it that way. Mm-hmm. Right? And it's about 7 kilometers across, the big cauldron that the whole system formed in. But there's a fault, a big fault that transects the caldera from southwest and northeast. So it transects about 7 kilometers clear across the caldera. And it actually extends all the way up to Vaticola, interestingly. It's the same fault. All right. But in the caldera, this structure, this fault, is where the fluids decided to ascend. Okay, so that magma I talked about earlier, they found places along this fault where there was a lot of, free flow, ability for fluids to move upwards. And it effectively formed tree trunks. Think of it that way, like trees and tree trunks along it. Okay, and we're finally starting to hone in on the other trees that are here. There's one down at Ura Creek and Jamaki in that area, which is to the southwest from Tuvatu. But this is the first one that we found, conclusively found. This looks like a Tuvatu replicate that's to the northeast. And it's exciting because we first saw this area in the BLEG sampling, the stream sediment sampling, we did a couple of years ago. Of course, COVID has kind of put a wrench into the works around exploring as aggressively as we had hoped over the past couple of years. But now we're back at it. And the guys decided to push this road up into this area, this Batiri Creek area. Bless their heart, they did, because this is exactly what we needed. We needed to get into that structural corridor, that northeast structural corridor, to find these kind of veins. And, you're right on schedule. They found this vein in 4 meters of 13 grams. It's a nice fat structure, very much like the big structures at Tuvatu. It has the same mineralogy. If you look at the pictures and so forth, it is just a classic monzonite-hosted high-grade vein like you see down at Tuvatu. And it's, structurally, it's got the little fractures and shear vein and so forth, which is very characteristic of all the veins at Tuvatu. It is in every respect an extension of the Tuvatu system. But it is sitting over the top of what's probably another tree trunk. So, I think this is a big one.
All right. So there could be more trees in the forest as well. But so let me just ask you, in terms of the current drill program, could you just give a real quick review of the current drill program, and then do you think this new discovery will be drilled anytime soon? Because the company certainly seems to have its hands full as it's infill drilling in order to get ready for some test production and also continue to explore down that tree trunk.
Yeah, so there's two styles of drilling going on right now. The company does have 6 rigs. There's two styles of drilling. There's the infill drilling in advance of the planned mine. So they're doing a lot of infill holes, drilling in between previously drilled areas, to better refine the model and be prepared when they go mining. That's occurring mainly at a shallow depth, say from surface down to 200 or 300 meters. And then the deeper drilling, which is testing the tree trunk part of the system, and that's been ongoing really since 2020, because the first trunk or big branch we hit was in late July of that year, and that's what convinced everybody, there's a lot more going on at depth. So there's definitely a continued effort to evaluate that part of the system, very high-grade part of the system. But we would like to get up to Batiri Bench, and I'm hoping they can do that before the rainy season sets in. The rainy season usually starts late November, early December, so we should have time here. And I'm very hopeful they'll get in there and get a couple of holes up in that part of the world, because it would be just as cool as can be to see all of this hard work the guys have been putting into the surface sampling pay off with demonstrable new discovery that could be effectively, like I said, another tree, another entire plume of high grade veins coming up.
Right, and it's for the market to be able to start to see some gigantic high grade deposit, obviously, you would think would start to get people excited about this story. Just in wrapping up here, Quentin, what should investors be aware of then in terms of share price, potential share price drivers? Would it be any of these great intersects, I suppose, should do it?
You know, the markets, as everybody can see, are struggling at this time, the gold space especially. It's, it's disheartening when you put out a news release like we had a couple of weeks ago, 55 meters of 12.2 grams. But look, there's going to be more of that. There's going to be plenty more news like that coming. I think we will have a rebound in the gold market. And as soon as that happens, like Lion One, which is advancing this to become a mine and is doing the exploration with great success and delivering news on a routine basis, I think it should be one of the biggest beneficiaries of the, recurring or hopefully resumption of the gold market, we'll say.
Well, it's going to happen. It's a matter of time, and it's always difficult to know exactly when, but you want to be ready because these things can really take off once the market starts to warm up to this sector. I want to thank you very much, Quentin, for taking the time to be with us again, and we'll look to catch up with you again sometime soon.